Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the show, we have Alan Amling, who is a TED speaker and thought leader on harnessing digital disruption for success. Mr. Amling helped drive innovation over a 27-year career with UPS and is currently a distinguished fellow at the University of Tennessee and CEO of advisory firm Thrive and Advance, LLC. His book is Organizational Velocity, Turbocharge Your Business to Stay Ahead of the Curve. And Mr. Amling, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
And glad to have you as well. Looking forward to hearing from you per your experience and expertise. So to kick things off, your book, Organizational Velocity, addresses why established companies struggle to adapt to change and end up getting disrupted. Can you explain a bit more about why companies struggle?
Oh, yeah, you bet. You bet. So, you know, it is what really drove me to write the book is, the challenges that I had kind of driving innovation at a large, what I consider a very innovative organization, UPS. And I was noticing how, you know, with all the information we have about disruption, it's been around for over 25 years, all the seminars, the consultants, the books, right? And, you know, everyone's experienced this Dilbert situation where you send a group off for a seminar, whether it's Blue Ocean Strategy, which is fantastic, or anything else, and they come back, they're all charged up and nothing changes. I looked at that. I looked at why companies in the Fortune 500 are turning over at an increasing rate. With all this knowledge, shouldn't they be staying on the Fortune 500 longer and not getting disrupted? And what I found out is there's all these hidden sources of friction that companies have, and it's the stuff that, you know, you don't find in the 8 steps to do this or that. It's, you know, there's a lot of good things that a lot of consultants and other people are preaching, but at the end of the day, what really changes? And so what organizational velocity is I talk to leaders in corporate, startup, military leaders, looking for how they make decisions under conditions of uncertainty, high stakes decisions. And I started to peel back the onion on, okay, what are these hidden sources of friction that are keeping companies from really moving at the speed of change and getting left behind?
Certainly some great information and interesting information to kick things off here today. Now, you completed dozens of interviews with corporate startups and military leaders over 5 years and brought those insights to life through stories and examples in Organizational Velocity. Can you talk to us about one or two of your favorite insights here?
Yeah, to start off, Clayton Christensen, who is the father of disruptive innovation, was on my dissertation committee and helped kind of form my thinking around this. And I was, and he wrote The Innovator's Dilemma, which kind of kicked all this off. And one of my early discussions with him, I was really animated, and he stopped me in his very calm way. He said, "Alan, you know, God didn't create data." And he paused and said, "Okay." He said, "It'd be a great service if you could help other executives like yourself understand that the greatest source of their future success is the information that has not been created yet." And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and it really influenced the book, because basically what it tells us is that if you're always looking forward by what happened in the past, you're going to end up sub-optimizing your strategy. And how many times that happened? I can't tell you how many times at UPS I had, large teams that put together 5-year plans. And after the first initiative and the first year was launched, it created a set of unexpected reactions in the market that changed what we do next. And Lord knows what we've seen over the last few years with the trade war, the pandemic, this latest Russian invasion of Ukraine. If you can't learn quickly and be able to process that information, you're in trouble. The second story comes from a company just in North Georgia, Shaw Industries. They're known for carpet. Now they do they're much larger than that. And they're really a learning organization. And I was talking with one of their senior VPs, and I was asking him, well, how do you deal with projects that don't meet the desired objectives? And he said, Alan, I just had that situation occur. You know, someone came in. I had a project that had failed to meet expectations. The VP, which is a VP of supply chain, was there to say his mea culpas. And instead of getting ripped to shreds like he expected and what would happen at most companies, the senior VP looked at him and said, okay, we paid the tuition. Now, what did we learn? That's what it's all about. It's not a failure if what you learn propels the next step. And that is as much a mindset and a cultural change as anything else.
Yeah, great points made right there for that response. And yeah, like you said, you've got to be ready and ready to react, and really do appreciate the insight shared through that response. Now, a lot of companies, big and small, are affected by supply chain issues right now. Can you provide some insight into how they can overcome some of these issues that most of the world is incurring right now?
Yeah. So one of the real critical factors is just to realize that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people preaching what you should be doing. The reality is, there is no one right supply chain strategy. It really depends on what your company strategy is. Your supply chain should reflect that. That's first and foremost. But these supply chain managers are facing changing rules, right? And so you think about what's happening in last mile, which is that from the distribution center to the doorstep, you've seen all these new entrants, whether it's Instacart or DoorDash. You have retailers like Walmart and Amazon that have their own delivery firms. It's a changing dynamic. You've got the issue with the ocean ports and the overcrowding, and the supply chain is really a chain. So it you know, if something happens in one part of the supply chain, it ripples through. And so what I would recommend to all companies is you have to develop optionality. You have to develop options, because without options, you're not able to take these unexpected events and pivot to your advantage. And so when I talk about options, it could be adding some diverse suppliers in different locations. It could be nearshoring. Most often, it's things that you do within your internal company. Okay, how do I streamline processes within my company? How can I put technology to work in my company to augment the work of people, since labor has been such an issue? A lot of it's around training as well, because as you move technology into the company, and you know, whether it's enterprise technology that helps you run your business, or robotics or automation in your operations, those don't run without people to run them. And I've heard for years, and I've said it myself, that, oh, this technology, it's not replacing workers, it is going to supplement their work. Well, yes and no. Yes, if you actively are reskilling your employee base. If not, they will be replaced, or they will be out of a job. And so, you know, when I think of what companies should be doing universally to deal with this supply chain issue, the two core things I think of is develop options and invest in your people.
Really some great information shared so far, and really appreciate the time you've taken to be with us here today. We're speaking with Mr. Alan Amling, the CEO of advisory firm Thrive and Advance LLC, and also the author of the book Organizational Velocity, Turbocharge Your Business to Stay Ahead of the Curve, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Amling, you explain in your book that you've seen a lot of startups heat up or flame out. Can you explain a few reasons why both happen here?
Yeah, so I was addressing something that I discovered that I ended up calling the disruptor's trifecta, and that is that the leaders have to be smart, meaning they make good decisions. They have to know their business, know their industry. And the third thing they need is they need to be technically savvy, which means that they don't necessarily need to know how to code in Python, but they need to understand how these new connecting and thinking technologies change what's possible, move the boundaries of what's possible. And so when I see where established organizations are failing, is that their senior leaders are delegating technology to the technology department. And today, you just can't do that. We are all technologists in today's world. But when I was running UPS Ventures and I was dealing with a lot of startups, I saw the opposite problem in the disruptor's trifecta. They, of course, were all smart, very smart as well. They were all very technically savvy, but they didn't understand the business. And they failed as often or more often than the established companies. And, you know, I talk about something called Chesterton's Fence, which is essentially the story goes, you don't remove a fence without first understanding why it was built in the first place. And that's one of the things that that I see startups do over and over again, and they just step on each other. So I'm trying to address those sources of frictions for both startups and established companies and organizational velocity.
I certainly do appreciate your input and feedback on that one. Now, lastly, what must companies do going forward as we continue to navigate the pandemic, and how can they thrive in the middle of such a circumstance that's certainly hard and very, very challenging, things we've never seen before?
So, a couple of things right off the bat. You need to have very clear communications to the troops. You need to uncover and eliminate double talk. So double talk is when you say one thing, but your actions or your incentive compensation says something else to your employees. You really need to have all your employees rowing in the same direction. The optionality that I talked about before is absolutely critical. And last but not least, a Marine general gave me this insight. And I've got these insights in my book. I call them gold nuggets and truth bombs. And this is one of them, that you need to move from a chess master to a gardener, meaning you can't be in these changing times trying to direct the movements of employees two or three levels, you know, that are down, that are closer to the customer. You need to be able to provide boundaries, provide them access to the information that they need to make decisions, and then you need to let them run. You need to let the people closest to the customer make decisions. But in order to do that, you need to create the boundaries so they know within these boundaries, I can act freely. And that's what unleashes that organizational velocity.
Well, Mr. Amling, we can't thank you enough for what you do and for joining us here today and for the value you bring to the space and for taking the time to write the book, Organizational Velocity. Where can listeners get more information on yourself, as well as where can they best pick up the book?
Oh, you bet. So the place to see it all is alanamling.com. And you can pick up my book on the Big A, amazon.com.
Hey, that certainly works. The Big A, you could go Amazon, Big A Allen, or Big A Amling. You've got it covered. Mr. Amling, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Alan Amling, the CEO of advisory firm Thrive and Advance LLC, and also the author of the book, Organizational Velocity, Turbocharge Your Business to Stay Ahead of the Curve. And for all the details, visit alanamling.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.